as we know. I wanted to start, well, first of all, bringing you greetings of grace and mercy and peace from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I wanted to start by giving a little bit of an introduction to what All Saints Sunday is. Maybe it's just a Sunday that we don't really know much about the background and the origins of it. So I thought it's helpful that we do have a little picture of what exactly we're celebrating here. So All Saints Sunday is an interesting celebration. It's been a celebration that's expanded over time. It's been celebrated in some form since the early church. Okay, so it was originally called the Feast of All Martyrs way back in the early church. They had a certain day of the year, it was actually in the springtime, where they would celebrate all the martyrs who had been martyred for the faith, and they would commemorate them and celebrate them. But then as time went on, it actually expanded to be called the Feast of All the Dead. So they're saying, well, now we're just going to celebrate all the people, the faithful departed, they called it. The people who have died in Christ, they had a special day to celebrate them. And now it's even expanded further to celebrate all saints, living and dead. So this is even our day today now. So we just honored today those who have passed away in the last year, and that's good. And now we're going to take a look at even ourselves, like our own sainthood. And it's good to do this, because what it does actually is when we take a look at what our sainthood is and what it means to be a saint, you know what we find out? We find out that we're actually a lot nearer and closer to our loved ones who have died than we think. We actually are very close to them. And so that's what that'll do to us today. And so today we'll really be looking at two main questions we'll be trying to answer. And the first one is, what is a saint? And the next one is, what does that mean for us? Okay, so our text then for today will be from the Epistle to the Ephesians in chapter 1, verses 11 through 23. And now I'm understanding that you don't stand for the reading of the epistle. So if you want to stand, that's fine. If you want to sit, that's okay too. But we're going to read from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 11 through 23, and we'll read in Jesus' name. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Amen. So, as we know, these letters in the New Testament, they were written with an intention that they would be read as a whole. You know, and I'm sure you've all heard this before, but I'm going to remind you again today that when you read a letter, one of these letters, we should really be looking at the whole context of the letter and what it says in its entirety, especially right before the place right before we've read and the place that follows. To expand on that a little bit, none of us would get a letter from somebody that we know or whatever, from anybody really. We wouldn't get a letter and just read a little part. Like, oh, I'm going to read just like a little section from the middle today, and then tomorrow I'll read a little bit more or something like that. But we'd read the whole thing. So us preachers have the task now of, when we preach a text, we have to try to preach the whole letter, which is a challenge with a limited amount of time. But we're going to try to give you somewhat of a background on this today. And so this letter is addressed to the saints and the faithful in Christ Jesus that are at Ephesus. And so that's our first important thing that I want to note today, is that this is addressed to the saints. And we are saints. We are saints. And so this also is addressed to us. It's not just to the people at Ephesus, but we know God's preserved this. This is part of the scriptures, and this is for our learning and for our benefit. And so this is addressed to us. The beginning part of this letter, it's very interesting. I love the epistle to the Ephesians. As I was studying for this text, Pastor Jesse was... I was sharing with him like how excited I was about this. It was just like amazing, the things that Paul says, especially in this first chapter. This is so rich. It's like amazing as you read through it. There's a continual building where Paul just like, he's like building. He says one thing and then he builds on that, and he builds on that. As the text progresses on, you can see that he's describing something so like expansively. He's like completely describing basically what God's thoughts are towards us, how God planned out this thing beforehand, that he wants to save us, and he did. He did save us. So that's what Paul's getting at in the beginning part of this letter. And another thing that's noticeable as you read through the first chapter is how generous God is with his grace and his love. He doesn't do it sparsely. And Paul wants us to be very sure of that. He wants us not to doubt that at all. You know, he uses, like, the language he uses is really like overflowing, like generous language, so that we understand that God's grace and forgiveness that comes to us in Christ is more than is actually necessary. Way more than God would have needed to do. And the amazing thing is we get the sense that there's actually leftovers. There's so much that it could fill everything, and then there's just leftovers. And that's always how we're taught about the grace of God. There's way, way, way more than enough to cover everything that needs to be covered. And there's leftover at the end. And so Christ is our inheritance, is kind of where our text then starts out. Paul is saying that we have obtained an inheritance, and we've been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things. So, well, right away there's a scary word maybe for us in there, right? Predestined. The reason that this word can be scary is because it has so much baggage with it. People argue. This is like people get in these big debates and arguments over this, which we're not going to do today. Today, I just want to keep it as simple as we can, because I believe that that's how Paul is understanding it, in a very simple way. And so as simply as possible, I'm going to say that what he means here is that basically God, he determined beforehand to save us because he wanted to, okay? If we could look at it that way. And so basically God can do what he wants. God made a plan and he did it. And he wanted to do it. And so that's all we're going to look at as far as that goes. And so we have hope in Christ because of this. And we have an inheritance. You ever think of that? That you have an inheritance. I don't know how many of you here have received an inheritance, like an earthly inheritance. But we have an inheritance, like Peter says, that is reserved in heaven. It's there and it doesn't fade away. That's what we have as the saints of God. We have an inheritance, like this thing being kept in heaven for us that we're going to get and it's never going to be spent. And so that's what we have in Christ. And that's the hope that we have in Christ. And you know one thing, when we hope in Christ, you know what it does? It praises God. So like that's the whole purpose. That's why Paul uses these words like, to the praise of his glory. To the praise of his glory. So that God wants us to know that he's good. Like that's the main thing God wants us to know. He gave Christ to us so that we would understand that he is good. And he's not just a little bit good, but he's overabundantly good. And so that's the promise we have in Christ. That the recognition of his grace is there. Like we recognize that God is gracious. God is good. He's so good he gave his son to us. And so salvation is good news. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but God has given us salvation in his son, Jesus Christ. You know, that's good news. That's a good thing. It's a good, you know, I wouldn't even think I have to say that. Like, this is good news. But the reality is that we have all fallen and we're desperate without him. But God has, to make sure that we would know he's good and gracious, he's given his son to us to forgive us all our sins. And so what happens, which Paul gets into here about the Holy Spirit, and that really will get to the meat of what we're looking at to be a saint today, that we're sealed with the Holy Spirit. When we believe this good news of the gospel, God gives his Holy Spirit to us. Okay, what that means actually is that God comes and lives inside of us. That's what Jesus said, that I will come. When the Comforter comes, that I will come and make my abode or my living, my dwelling place in you. And so we're sealed with the Holy Spirit. And so what's happening, what that means to be sealed is actually means that it's like a mark. A picture in the old world, in the ancient world, there would be kings would have a ring with like a seal on it or a signet. And only the king would have that certain shape on his ring. And if he sent a letter or something, what he'd do is they would take that ring and they would dip it in wax or something and it would seal the letter, so if you look, you're like, oh yeah, that's authentic. This has the king's seal on it. Or maybe in our day and age, like if we look at a document from, I don't know, the government or some kind of a organization, there'll be a seal on it that authenticates this thing. And so that's what the Holy Spirit is. It's God seals us with it so that we know that we're sure that we belong to him. That we are actually his and he owns us. And so that's where we get into what is a saint, our first question that we're trying to answer today. What is a saint? A saint is a holy one. It's hard for us in the English language to appreciate this distinction between a saint and the Holy Spirit. It's very clear in other languages, in Greek especially. The same word that's used for Holy Spirit, the word for saint is the same word as holy. It's hagios. It's holy. So when we think of the Holy Spirit and then we think of saints, we don't necessarily think the same thing. But all it means is somebody who has the Holy Spirit. So that's all a saint is. And so that's what we're celebrating today. we're celebrating our own sainthood. You know, that we have the Holy Spirit and that we actually have God living in us. You know what the amazing thing is? That we're as holy as God himself. You ever think of that? That you, as a Christian who has the Holy Spirit, you are as holy as God himself. He's living in you. And you are completely holy. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He sanctifies us, or he makes us holy. And so those are some of the promises that we have as God's children. Another thing that happens that Paul gets into here is that, and he actually prayed for these Ephesians, he says that, when I saw the love that you have for all the saints, he didn't stop to make mention of them in his prayers and so on. So he knows that, and he's telling us here that when we get the Holy Spirit, when we are saints, it's not like we're not by ourselves. There's something that happens there, okay? What happens is you start to understand that you have a connection to all the rest of the saints. And as he will say at the end of this chapter, that it's the body of Christ. So we're actually all connected. We're all connected that, so as saints, we see each other that we're in one body. And all the things we do, just like our body, it's doing all the things that it does together. Like my arm is very much connected to my leg, you know. And all these sort of things that they're all, there's a connection that we all have to each other. That we laugh together, we cry together, we believe together, we love together. We're loved by God together. And all these things, we hurt together. All, just like when we had these people come forward to receive their flowers, and this is in memory of their loved one. You know, do you think that everyone else felt that? Do you think we all felt that? We did. We all felt the pain and the hurt and the memories and things that you're reliving and all those sort of things. The whole body, we hurt together. We're with you in this together. As the saints of God, we're all together in this. We share the same things because we share the same head, actually, which we'll get into, which is Christ. And so we're all his body. And so Paul wants to pray for the Ephesians, and he wants to pray for us that we would be enlightened to see how good this really is. And that's what it needs. We need God's enlightenment even to understand. That it like throws light on it. That we can see, this is good. The gospel, God needs to show us how good it is for us. That without it, we're totally lost. With it, we're totally saved. We're totally holy and righteous and all those things that go with it. And so, you know, we pray that God would enlighten us to see that we can rejoice that this is good. This is a good thing. And that's why Paul, he goes on to use this more of this, like, you know, it's gushing. He's just gushing about this. He's using words like, he says, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. You know, just think of that for a minute. The riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. Now that's so descriptive that he uses that word riches. Like, it's just extra. It's just like, plenty, there's just way more than enough, the inheritance that the saints have. You know, he has such good things to give us. Or he says something like, the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe. You know, we can't even begin to understand, like, even what he's saying there. Like, immeasurable greatness of his power. What he's saying, it's just like beyond anything that we even have, like, a frame of reference to like, compare to. It's just so great, his power towards us. You know, it's so great that, in fact, God, his whole purpose of creating the whole world, the whole universe exists for that one purpose, that his love could be made known, and his greatness and power towards the ones he loves is made known in Christ. That's what the world exists for. You know, that's how great it is. You know, we sing about that, how great thou art. You know, that just God is so great. If you look at all the creation, And then it's like, yeah, that's, it's even greater than that. It's greater than the greatest thing we know. That's how it is. And thus has all been performed in Christ when he was raised up from the dead and brought to heaven. So this is all in Christ, and this becomes important that Jesus, where's Jesus now? Jesus is in heaven. And we're here on this earth, but as his body, you know, we're here on the earth as his body, but you know what? You know where he is? He's in heaven. So think of it this way, that Jesus' body is on earth, but his head is in heaven. So we're already in heaven, if you think of it that. That's how Paul is describing it here. He's the head. Jesus is in heaven. So we probably don't often think of ourselves as being in heaven, because it's like, no, we're on earth, and we usually think that, we say things like, when I get to heaven, you know, this and that. And we're looking forward to that day when we can go to heaven. But we're actually already there. Our head, Jesus, he's in heaven. Just his body's here on this earth. And so that's where we are. We're seated with him. Paul tells the Colossians that we're seated with him in the heavenlies. And so that's where we are as his saints. We're already in heaven. And so as we consider the people that have gone on and departed and have gone to heaven, it's like, well, we're there. There's no really separation as much as we think, because we're there. We're on our way there. We're going to go to them, like David said about his son that died. Remember that? Like, he said that he can't come to me, but I'll go to him. And so there's that surety we have. And that comfort we have as God's children, that, yeah, we're not separated from heaven. We're there, actually. And the promise of going there is so sure as God's children. And so, to wrap this up then, what is a saint? A saint is a person who is holy because God lives in them. That's just simply what it is. So if when we have the Holy Spirit, we're saints. And so I can address you all as the saints. You are the saints of God, and we celebrate your sainthood today. And so what does that mean for us? Our second question. It means that God's grace is given to us by his Holy Spirit. It means that all our sins are forgiven. It means that we have been made as holy as God himself, because God is living in us. So we're holy. We have part of God in us. So that's what that means. And lastly, it means that we all have a special connection to one another. We have a connection to each other as the body of Christ. And also, we have a connection with those who have died, who have gone to heaven. We're there with them. And there is no separation there. But we actually are all united together. And we look forward to the day when that'll be actually a reality, when faith will become sight, and we will see everything for how it is. Here, it's by faith. We don't actually see it physically, but we walk by faith and not by sight. But on that last day, then everything will be reality, and faith will be sight, and we'll be all there, and it's going to last forever. And so that's back to the inheritance. The inheritance we have is so sure, and it will never get spent away. It's going to last forever. And so I leave you with that, and be encouraged that you are a saint, and that God, he loves you, and he's forgiven all your sins through Jesus Christ. In his name, amen. Let us close with a prayer. Dear Lord, we're thankful. We're thankful today for the promise that we have and for the inheritance we have in your Son and for the love that you've poured out on us as your children and for the comfort that we have that even those who have died in faith that we love so much and we miss so much that we are connected to them and we're going to see them. It's not going to be very long at all in the big picture. And that we're already in heaven with them now because we're your children. So we thank you for all of this. In Jesus' name, amen. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you everlasting peace in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.